Phoenix FM.
AJ Soundbooth.
AJ Soundbooth.
AJ Soundbooth is the monthly music podcast hosted by me, your host, Antonia Jones. It's a podcast where you get to hear the freshest new sounds coming out of the UK and beyond. Plus, you'll get to catch up with some of the most influential figures on the music scene.
AJ Soundbooth Artist Spotlight.
It's Antonia Jones, and guess who stopped by AJ Soundbooth this month for our Artist Spotlight feature? It was the talented grime violinist Tanya Cracknell. She's the first ever violinist in the world to release an EP of grime instrumentals. She has performed live with some of the biggest names in the grime music scene, including Giggs, Mr. Easy, Lady Lights, and Lioness, as well as performing around the world at festivals including Glastonbury and Wireless. Tanya shared her story, which was a reflection of her true authentic self, fused with a selection of some of her favorite grime and rap tracks. The grime violinist and her uniqueness has attracted over 20,000 followers, and we can hear and see why. Meet the grime violinist. So Tanya, we're looking forward to hearing more about you, but before we do that, just give us a little snippet.
Hey everyone, my name's Tanya. You might know me as the grime violinist because I came up covering grime tracks on my violin. I'm classically trained, but I love to play the music that I'm into now and get to write string lines for, music that I love.
So how does it feel to become the first violinist in the world to release an EP of grime instrumentals, knowing that your music is doing its rounds on local and national radio as well as TV?
Yeah, super exciting. I wanted my first release to kind of emulate original grime sounds. So, you know, the brief to the producers that I worked with was kind of, let's go back to the sort of old school sound of grime. Let's get, you know, MCs wanting to spit over this and then... So the releases after that will be with vocals. But yeah, I'm proud of to be the first violinist to do it.
I came across you about 3 years ago. And when I heard your tracks, I was like, I need to interview Tanya at some point in my career a few years later.
Thanks for the follow. Thanks.
You're
the
welcome. So you grew up in the UK, right? And amongst many different cultures. So what has life been like growing up here for you? Different people, music, how has that influenced you?
Well, I grew up in Hertfordshire, which is just outside London, and our local place to go out and rave, basically, like, you know, when you first go clubbing when you're 16, that was in Watford. And like, Watford is a bit of a like a home for grime. Like, a lot of people came up, like you know, doing gigs in Watford, so I heard the sound then. And then I went to university at UEA in Norwich, which is completely different. It's like got its own little vibe up there because it's so far away from London. It kind of it's self-sufficient, so it doesn't need, it's sort of got everything there you need, so it really feels like a different place. And that's where I got my degree in music and classical performance, and then I came to London and lived there for 10 years. And that was kind of, I still class London as home. I've literally just moved out again, back to Hearts, just during lockdown, because I just needed some some space.
Space and fresh air.
Yeah, all of that that we're all craving right now. But yeah, London to me, I was living in East London, and that sort of, Hackney Wick definitely feels like home. And coincidentally, I had sort of the E3 postcode, which of course we know is like the official home of grime. So that probably influenced me a little bit as well.
You've been a recording artist for hip hop, soul, house and pop music, but your love of the UK grime music scene paved the way to your solo career in becoming the grime violinist. So tell us about your rise to fame and how that actually all started. I know you were age 7 and you're playing the violin, and you fast forward to now.
Yeah, there was no... Yeah, there's no fame then. I don't know if there's much now, but, you know, I'll take it. I started playing when I was 7. I did all the classical grades. Actually, both my parents are classical guitarists, so they kind of got it. It wasn't, like, hard to persuade my parents that I wanted to do a career in music, because they had. So there was, like, you know, they couldn't have said anything, really. So I did all the classical stuff. And then when I was at university, I went to uni rather than music college, because I knew that classical music wasn't really what I wanted to do for forever. You know, I went there thinking I need more of an experience, more different types of people doing different things around me rather than just being surrounded by classical music. So, you know, although I'd be studying classical music, that wasn't the stuff that I'd go out and, you know, party to. As I say, like hip hop, soul, R&B, that kind of thing was my thing at university. I guess I started like playing along to the tracks that I like on the radio, like with the violin. And then when I left university, I decided again that I wasn't going to be a musician. Like, I didn't want to be a classical musician. I didn't really see any other way. At that time, there wasn't many classical violinists doing different things. There was the odd one, but, you know, yeah, literally that was it. Like a few people around the world doing that. So I did lots of stuff like arts admin. I had so many different jobs. I ended up being programmed manager of a concert hall, everything from that to cleaning car windscreens on a forecourt. Like, I had all different types of jobs. And then, as you say, I was like recording for non-classical music on the side of doing those jobs. And as soon as I started doing that more and more, I was like, oh, if I could do this for a job, that would be amazing. So, yeah, I quit my job at the concert hall to become a freelance violinist, which at the time was a bit mad because it, you know, just salaried job, you know, secure, you know. But I just kind of thought, if it's not now, then when? So, yeah, started recording for all different types of music. At that time, it was any kind of music that people needed strings on. But obviously, the more popular your work gets, the more you can be picky and choosy. And now I think I literally record on things I love all the time.
Yeah. And when you say about following your dream, how hard was that to make that decision? Was it very hard or was it really easy?
It took a while. I had to build up some experience and some contacts and networking for probably like about 2 years before I quit my job, because it was too risky otherwise. And even when I did quit my job, having been like, you know, pretty high up in this industry, I went right back down to not being able to necessarily pay my bills unless I sort of handed out newspapers, do you know what I mean, outside the stations, which there's nothing wrong with, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. I had to substitute my income of being a freelance violinist by doing loads of different jobs at the same time until I built that up. And someone said to me when I quit my job, they said, it'll take you about 3 years and I promise there'll be a turning point. Don't panic. Within 3 years, you'll be fine. And it's crazy. Almost on the dot of 3 years, I found myself not having to do other jobs as well. So wow. That sort of 3 year thing, I always tell people if they're like a year or two in, having like, you know, just done an arts degree or something, going, I've got a year or two in and I'm still not doing what I want to do. It's just like, honestly, that 3 year mark, I don't know what it is about it. But if you've been there for 3 years, it's just, you start to turn a corner. So hang in there.
That is such good advice. Really, I'm listening attentively to that. And I'm sure all of the other artists will be listening as well. And just anyone. And it is quite hard when you get into an industry or a profession that you like. If you feel it's not going very well, people tend to quit straight away. But it does take that groundwork and that perseverance.
I've really enjoyed those memes recently of like, this celebrity didn't make it until they were 36, this celebrity didn't make it till they're 40, this celebrity didn't make it till they're 50. And it's just like, okay, cool, we've all got time. There is time. I know life's short, but let's just, you know, let's take it easy on ourselves.
And you're right about that, because Steve Harvey, he is a TV personality. He was about 60 years old before he got his first TV show. And I was just like, wow. He actually lived out of his car. He was homeless. If you listen to that story, his journey was amazing. And to see him with all this money, he's so thankful. That's all he talks about is gratitude. Yeah. And that's just a way forward. Wow.
That is so important. And exactly, if he'd have quit, like a lot of people do, he wouldn't have got there when he's 60. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't have been able to do what he really wants to do in the end.
Yeah.
Gratitude is like so important. I wake up and write in like a notepad, like 5 things I'm grateful for every morning. And it really like, it sets you up for the day well. I definitely recommend it.
That's lovely. Would you like to share one of your 5?
This morning's 5. Wow, you know what? I can't even remember them right now. But definitely in the recent weeks, it's been in winter sun, like, one of my grateful things has been winter sun, and then, you know, friends, family, partner, they're sort of the usual ones. And then there's normally something more personal, like, you know, I'm thankful that I've woken up and my body feels well today, you know, so all different types of things.
That is just so important as well, because there's so much things that far outweigh the good and the bad. But the most important thing is actually waking up and breathing, because some people didn't actually make it this morning. So that's one thing to be happy about. And, you know, we may not always be happy, but something to have gratitude for. So moving on, if you could describe grime in one word, what would it be and why?
Energy. I thought that would be hard when you were asking it. I was like, oh, that sounds one word, not even a phrase. I was like, no, it's energy. The reason being is because if you go to a live grime gig, that is what you see. And it's just such a beautiful sight and feeling. And everyone's there.
I actually saw you on stage. Was that on Big Nasty show?
Oh, did you? Yeah, it was Mr. Easy in gigs.
Yeah, I saw that performance and I remember seeing Mr. Easy gigs as well. And you in the, you know, the background there coming to the forefront with your violin. And I just thought, wow, you were just going for it.
Yeah.
And just the sounds and the chords. It's like having that stage presence. And I could see all of the audience as well really engaged. So I felt that energy at the same time.
You are messing with the Godfather.
Yeah,
this is the happy boy takeover. If it be with the big girls bend over.
What they call you?
Call me Mr. Lego.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Yeah, that did feel really exciting, actually. I was really excited to be there. And it's funny because obviously you get loads of different gigs. And that one, I thought, you know, I'm going to come in and, you know, as a backing violinist, you just think you'll come and do your thing. But I really got treated super well on that show. Like, massive dressing room, like makeup artists, like they gave me the full treatment, and so I felt like a star when I went out.
Step up onto that, man. I'm gonna get up onto that, man. I'm gonna get up onto that. Yeah, man. I'm gonna get wild and stomp on that. Get up strong for that. Bust it, conk on that. We talking about? I tell you, man, I make up song for that. Set up the cookie. She love it and she ate up the cookie. Take up the what? It's up at bio. I'm up to bat, all bets off. Smash up your bookie.
Yeah, yeah.
Back up the rookie. What? Clap up your coffee. Big bets on for that.
Yeah.
Big bets on to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Big bets gone for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Big man long for that.
Yeah.
Bust it, conk him up. Big man conquer that.
Buff chicks, big man's niche. Mob that big whips. Big man's honking that.
Bang things in the London town. Bankings in the London, man. I got bad man in the London town. Bad man in the London, man. I got bankings in the London town. Bankings in the London, man. I got bad man ready to shut it down. Bad man ready to shut it.
Say me like. Infama, infama, man try take easy for chihuahua. I pray you say some and me come a talk, 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 but then not do nada. Long for that, long for that. She say she chop me like go for that. She pray she hold baba, don't for that. Creep with me, cause nobody bother. You are messing with the good father. This is a happy boy takeover. He be me with the make the girls bend over. Call me Mr. Lee, okay? Messing with the Godfather. Tell it sucker boy take over. If I drop in this one with Holo man, then I feel it from Niger to England.
Man, I got paintings in the London town. Paintings in the London. Man, I got Batman in the London town. Batman in the London. Man, I got paintings in the London town. Paintings in the London. Man, I got Batman ready to shut it down. Batman ready to shut it down.
Man, I got paintings in the London town.
Paintings in the London. Man, I got Batman. Shut it down.
seen your career just take off really quickly over time. So what sets you apart?
It's basically
from...
only been 3 years, so you've been
really?
There from the beginning.
Oh, wow. I'm a super fan. That is right. What, honestly, 3 years ago, literally. I didn't even know you were going to say 3 years, but I remember 3 years ago. That was like 2 years into my radio career. That's when I came across you. And what sets you apart from other artists who actually sing, you actually play your violin. So how does that feel? Because it's like, it's so unique with your modern style of music. We're used to having people singing, but you're playing your violin. How does that make you feel? How competitive does it feel in the industry? Like, what do you do to stand out?
You know what? I'm really lucky because I think if I was a singer, I would feel so much more competitive with other singers. Because I'm a violinist, I'm almost one of hardly anyone doing the same thing. You know, obviously there's non-classical violinists, but I kind of have my own little spin on it. Do you know what I mean? And I actually try not to follow other violinists. I follow the odd few just out to support, but I don't look at their accounts because I don't want to be influenced by other people so much in that way. I just want to kind of, you know, be a bit blinkered and do my own thing. So I feel like competition wise there's so much less for me, and just it's one less thing to worry about, and I can just focus on the sound that I want to create.
So I was looking at your discography and I saw your take on Barking by Rams. So I saw Kano's Class of Deja featuring DWE and Getz.
Ooh, ooh. Dirty D. That's Marie.
They're my pre-league, I can see angles. Get money, get snakes by your ankles. Any cobras can get handled. Got enough for soldiers like dangles. Run MCs, then burn candles. Keep it on wax, that's an idiot team. Rather top man up and don't talk about it. That's an inside box for your handball. Penalty, that's a penalty. 12 us look like a den of thieves. Champagne shopping like 10 of each. Non-stop popping to the cemetery. They don't know about me. Wartime roll out with pure man about me. They can't come around east. Who's that get back troll for the M? Here can't ramp with it. And go in my ex city with it. East End legend light double and willy with it. Don't daddy, don't dilly with it. No man, I sit lilies with it. Grown man on some kiddie business. I do rap and run back to like Mushkin. Can't take away my classics. Kid, if it's warm, I'ma take it to the mattresses. Where were you back then? Where were you back then? Man was putting in work on the roof back then. With a few men then. Swear no word of a lie, I'm the truth right now. I was the truth back then. Man better call Rooney for some proof right now. Before we do fact checks.
Man can't try and school me on this. Man can't try and school me on that. Been there, did this and I done. Man been there, did this and I done that. Man run up in houses, run up in flats. Slapped up dogs and slapped up cats in beef. Man come with this and that. Man can't try and school me about this. Man can't try and school me on that. Been there, did this and I done. Man been there, did this and I done that. Man run up in houses, run up in flats. Slapped up dogs and slapped up cats in beef. Man come with this and that. No love, man, I'm moving.
Man about two men start checking credentials. Wreck instrumentals. They know about the pen game, but man I still led them with pencils. They ain't been to the mountain once. Shaolin monk when I step in his temple. Tag team man see legends assemble. Backseat younger step out with men's tools. Ryus and Kens, ride you with them. Rude boy, mind make a tread. That's the nice. I see my youth to the lens. That's fish eye. Believe don't truth in your rep. And still I reload, do it again. And then deny. Mutual friends when I ask why did I? What? Why did I? Repercussions. Steven, I even survived. Nice one, wet, that's even numbers. Quit it up, man, feel the reaper coming. See, I'm way too gifted. Killer MC with bit different flows like a killer MC with presence alone. Level and tone.
Timeless and definite flow.
Then try not to take a man's throne.
Make a man know.
My man's tech as is cold.
Impeccable form.
Jason Levels was born in East London where on.
Beep, devils have horns.
Some of you several sources. DG's felons and fraud. CV's red and get torn.
These demons deliver with spawn.
Try and school me on this. Man can't try and school me on that. Cause I've been there, did this and I done. Yeah, been there, did this and I done. That man run up in houses, run up in flats. Slapped up dogs and slapped up in beef. Man, they come with this and nah. Man can't try and school me on this. Man can't try and school me around that. Cause I've been there, did this and I done. Yeah, been there, did this and I done. That man run up in houses, run up in flats. Slapped up dogs and slapped up cats in beef. Man, come with this and that. No laugh when I'm moving. But the buck.
Trying to stay out of harm's way, but the trouble keeps on miscalling. Can't wrap me up while I'm home alone. Man, ain't my calling me no coking. Live by it, then die by it. Those are informers. That's why all the soldiers keep falling.
Oh my God.
Ooh, ooh. Dirty T. That's Marie.
and there's many more on your discography. So I'm a complete fan. So tell me how that came into being. I know it started from 2015.
So those are my covers that you're talking about. So I'm very lucky. I can just pick songs that I like and write string lines over it. And, you know, I'm very blessed for that. And then I sort of do a video and I'll put it up on my Instagram or my YouTube. And so I have another discography on my website, which is stuff that I'm actually sort of, you know, featuring the grand violins or that I've just recorded on in terms of strings. So I get to do the both. I get to cover tracks that have already exist that I love. And I get to be involved in the kind of the writing and the production side of things that are yet to come out. So, yeah, it's a good holistic sort of career, really.
Yeah, and then with the artists that you feature, do you actually connect with them as well once you've created this, I would say, this magic in the studio?
Thanks. In terms of working with them directly in production, yeah, often. Obviously, I work with the producers mainly, and then often I get to work with the artists, and the artists might have asked me to feature on it. In terms of the covers, yeah, sometimes, for example, I did a gigs cover once and I put it on Instagram and he posted it on his account, which was great because he's got like a million followers, so that was great. Gets would do the same, you know, he's reposted. And yeah, that's just sort of just reach out on Instagram and say, hey, I really like what you're doing type thing. And it's, yeah, that feels really nice. It's not why I do it, but yeah, it's really nice. So I've sort of, now I tend to send what I've done to the artist because I realise that actually they might be quite interested in to know that their song's just been covered by a violinist.
Are you actually signed?
No, I've got no label, no management. For the moment, I can do exactly kind of what I want, you know. there's definitely some interest there. I'm kind of doing my own projects at the moment. Some of the things I've got in the pipelines is a sample library. So producers can have my sound on their tracks without me having to come to the studio, which obviously in these times of lockdown is super important. I've sort of got an idea for two different albums and I don't know which one's going to come first. One will be kind of a classical crossover one and one will be more grime. And I think just the more that I push, if people like what I do, then that'll happen in the long run. You know what I mean? But it'll happen because they've seen my authenticity, not because I've signed early and been pushed into any kind of other bracket, you know?
Now, that's a really good point you make, because sometimes a vision for an artist is, I want to get signed. And that's all they think about straight away. And then you're talking about being genuine, being creative at the same time and exploring all the different options, what you like, what you don't like. So that gives you that creative freedom.
Totally. And I think also people don't realise that being signed to a label means that, you know, if you get a £50,000 deal, it sounds amazing, but you do have to work to pay that back to the label. It's not just a gift, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, everything that you work for until that's paid off, the label, like, you know, they kind of own that. So
you've got your management fees and everything.
Exactly,
like that.
20% to them, 20% to the, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not as rosy as it may seem. You know, I've just signed a deal with a glass of champagne, you know, the classic picture, like, yeah, I made it, baby. And they're not, you know, there's a lot to be said for them. Like, therefore, you get more experience, you get more exposure, etc. You just have to kind of weigh it up. I think it's just not the be all and end all. I know many artists who have signed deals and then nothing's come from it. So it's important to know where you're headed without other people.
Definitely. And also having the right legal advice around as well, should you need to sign a contract, because we've heard so many horror stories about splits, whether it be 50-50, 20-50, you know, wanting to come out of a contract. You know, would you encourage the artist to sign up to the kind of the PRS and different organizations that support artists, yeah, as well, for the
definitely
advice?
Definitely. I mean, yeah, definitely. The PRS for sure, because obviously you want to get your revenue from your sales. PPL, if you're a recording artist like me, if you've actually recorded on something, even if you haven't written it, you can get PPL. And the MU, the Musicians Union, or if you're more classical, the ISM, they support musicians with public liability insurance and legal advice, and their legal advice teams are actually really good. And luckily I've never actually needed to call them up about that, but I've had friends that have needed that and they're great. I'm very lucky because having had a career kind of in the arts administration kind of side of things before becoming a solo artist, I have some experience of like contracts and stuff like that. So I'm quite lucky there, but definitely don't sign anything without sort of knowing what you're doing.
So apart from being a talented violinist, did you have any big dreams to be anything else in your life?
Good question. Yeah, I've had plenty. I definitely wanted to be a pop star. I don't think I could qualify as that right now, but I definitely wanted to be, you know, the when I was younger, I wanted to be the singer, you know, definitely pop star type thing. And then I think when I was at school, I was interested in design. And I thought about taking interior design, but because it wasn't, so I didn't know enough about it, I sort of continued down the music route instead of going to do that at university, because I would have had to start from scratch. So I think definitely something in design or architecture would have been an alternative. Life's, you know, got many chapters, you never know.
A few weeks back, you had on your Instagram post about posting with purpose, which is something that I'm really into, not just posting for the sake of it. And you put out a post and I was quite inspired by that. And I think I'd contacted you, this was the second time, and I thought, we need to talk about this. So, you know, what brought you to that point of posting with purpose?
I think, you know, I really like that phrase. I don't think I use that phrase, but I should have done. Posting with purpose. I'm stealing it. I found myself in the new year, I found myself saying, okay, I'm going to post every day, because if I can't do live music, which is what I want to be doing, I can get my social media following up, and therefore that might lead to more live gigs in the long run when it is back. So that was my train of thought. So I started to post, and I started to look at what other people are doing, and then started to follow trends like, you know, posting about different things, you know, even sort of I was thinking of doing some makeup stuff and things that basically weren't of that much interest to me, but I see do well on Instagram and TikTok. And I thought, I just need to do it. I need to play the game, because that's basically what I've got to do at the moment. And then I found it so hard to feel good about it. I'm sure that some people, that's them and they want to do that, and that's absolutely fine. But I find that doing Instagram or any kind of social media every day, I find it really soul-destroying for me personally. There's too much pressure on whether people will like the stuff. If it's not what you do normally, sort of, you know, I'm a violinist. I don't normally do other, you know, other things and post about everyday things. I'm also quite a private person. So to try and put everything that I'm doing on Instagram was just... it just felt vacuous to me. So I kind of realized this after about 2 weeks. I was actually miserable. I was like, this is not me. What am I doing? And I kind of, you know, I felt like I had to air my dirty laundry. I had to tell people. I was like, guys, this wasn't me. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, but I just want to tell you that, you know, it didn't make me feel good. And from now on, I'm just going to give you honesty. And since then, I've posted how I'm feeling about the world and sort of my opinions on things that actually matter to me. And I haven't been posting every day, because I only post when something comes to me that I think is worthwhile to be putting on the internet that will last forever. And since then, I've got like the same amount of likes, no sort of increase in likes. However, I've got a lot more interaction by people DMing me saying, thank you, that kind of like, I really understand how you're feeling right now.
And also, you're in that prominent position and all eyes are on you. It may not seem like it. It may seem like it as well for you. But when you're in that position in the public eye, what you say matters, what you do matters.
Yeah, and you have to feel good about it. You do have a responsibility. If you have any kind of following, you know, I have 20,000 followers. It's not like I'm not Rihanna, but you do have, if you've got even, you know, 1,000 followers, you have a responsibility to those people to tell them, the truth.
Yes. And that's so transparent. And that's how I connected as an individual speaking to you. Actually, I connected straight away. And I saw a post by a rapper called Bouncer, and he had this post and it was talking about all of this criteria that we feel social media says that we should have. We must be like this financial advisor or this big spokesperson on Clubhouse. we must have X amount of money by so many months or years, and or we must be a social media influencer. This is the pressure that social media can put onto you. It's not the platform, it is individuals on occasions, and it's feeling confident within ourselves. And that is where the issue kind of lies usually. If we feel we lack something, then we tend to gravitate to something which we feel we can aspire to. But again, it's about being yourself. So in the music industry, who are your main music influencers?
Oh my God, they're so varied. So I think early on, it was a violinist called Miri Benary, who was kind of the first hip hop violinist. Do you remember she did stuff with Kanye West? Do you remember there was like a violinist with curly hair?
Yes, that
was
I remember.
Her. She was kind of one of the first people, like after Vanessa May, to kind of do that crossover stuff. So that inspired me when I was younger. Actually, talking about Kanye, his gospel stuff like just makes me so amazing. Happy. Yeah, literally.
God is king, we the soldiers. Ultra beam out the solar. When I get to heaven's gate, I ain't gotta peek over. Keeping perfect composure. When I scream at the chauffeur, I ain't mean I'm just focused. I ain't mean I'm just focused. Put a lean out slower. God is clean out of soda. Before the flood, people judge. They did the same thing to Noah. Everybody wanted Yandy. That Jesus Christ did the laundry. They say that we start on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday. Won't be in bondage to any man. John 8:33. We the descendants of Abraham. Yea, should be made free. John 8:36. To whom the Son set free is free indeed. He say the wretch like me.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Don't wake up with Judas kissing makeup. Even with the bitter cup, forgave my brothers and drank up. Did everything but gave up. Stabbed my back, I came front. Still we win, we prayed up. Even when we die, we raise up. Ain't no want, no we need it. The powers that beat have been greedy. We need ours by this evening. No white flag or no treaty. We got the product, we got the tools. We got the minds, we got the youth. We going wild, we on the loose. People is lying, we are the truth. Everything old should now become new. The leaves will be green, bearing the fruit. Love God and our neighbor as written in Luke. The army of God and we are the truth.
I love gospel music, and just combine it with rap is to me the best thing the best thing out there. I love rap and I love gospel, so like together I'm a happy bunny. So yeah, that's definitely an influential sound. Obviously grime artists, my favorite's probably Getz, Kano, and some of the females as well, like Lioness and Lady Likes. As you mentioned before, I was really honored to be on stage with them at Wilderness Festival a couple of years ago. We performed in front of a live orchestra, and that was just an amazing experience because they're such talented females. I've been watching for a while, so that felt nice.
Yeah, what has been an influential song for you in terms of a particular lyric or a song? So, you know, you get that melody and you just start singing that. And I've got like endless songs that I can sing, like Mary J. Blige, Fine. I just love that lyric because it just makes you feel happy. It's just like, what song gets you going? I'm not going to judge you. It could be
what song, you know, in terms of lyrics, there's loads that I go out and that I go and sing like in a club, but can I bring them to mind now? But I can tell you that one of my all-time favorite songs is Sticky featuring Miss Dynamite Boo. And I couldn't even like reel off a million lyrics unless you played it to me, and then I'd absolutely be able to do it. However, I can just tell you that that song gets me going.
We'll be playing it shortly anyway.
Yes, good.
That'll be okay, good. Perfect. I've got to get some lyrics up quickly. Miss Dynamite in the place. She says, listen to the dynamite. And then she goes on. And she goes, and you know, we've got to get that crowd hype, basically. So as you say, energy. That's what it is.
Energy. It's energy. That is crew. Why. And she's like, she is the originator. You're right. Yeah. She's one of the originals. Amazing artist. Totally like can turn a hand to anything. But this in particular, when I was younger, just got me going. Listen to the dynamite. Listen to the dynamite.
That's it.
Miss Dynamite inside the place. Listen to the dynamite. Miss Dynamite, Miss Dynamite inside the place. Oh, it's a sticky. And you know we're gonna get them kinda high. And you know we're gonna get them kinda high. And you know we're gonna get them kinda hyper inside the place. Hyper inside the place. Hyper. And we tell them.
Get it with the rhythm, get it with the drum. Get it with the rhythm, get it with the drum. Why fight and go along like you now and some like my Liverpool tongue, me your medicine. Get it with the rhythm, get it with the drum. Get it with the rhythm, get it with the drum. Why fight and go along like you now and some like my Liverpool tongue, me your medicine. Feel the bad girl bass injection. Listen DJ with the boom selection. This one's like cut to get you be sectioned. It's the range insane where we feel no pain. Excuse while I get into your brain. Let the bass vibrate them veins. So we shove up like we was in go. Because I tippy dee the dynamite to get the people them alive and lean. And I'm a shop boo in a U.N. The recall shot get popped by spread. Gotta do something that everybody should make that stuff and run a cup and zesten. Them a shop boo in a U.N. The recall shot get popped by spread. Gotta do something that everybody should make that stuff and run a cup and zesten. Get out with a little bit of bass and drum. You know you're so far off and go fun. Because back in the day was all about fun. Taking you back on my little tongue. My only weapon. I out of it. Fuzz, I thrill, no cost, don't kill. Yeah, stand still. I'm a licky with a vibe that you can feel. Them attitude, and it's not about them advice. No matter who you are, and no matter what you do, you can get some of our natural eye. It's not about all them attitude, it's not about them advice. No matter who you are, what you do. I mean, I care what you crave, no dogs allowed in all the race. But some brothers must behave, and boy, please stop them bureaucracies about your grabbing by somebody. I wonder why she gets when you're so grubby. Tell him, flee if he step disrespectfully. Tell him, flee. No, some gal think them too nice.
Dynamite to get the people, them alive and lean. We need the dynamite to get the people, them alive.
it goes without saying that you're gifted with such a talent, with an ear for music. So as a violinist, how do you create such magic in the studio? I call it magic because it is magic. I've never heard anything like it.
That's nice. Thank you. You know what? Growing up doing classical music, you don't learn to create your own. That is one of the issues I have with classical music training. Obviously, I needed that to be able to play the violin. But you don't kind of come off the page a lot. You know, you play what's in front of you and you play it in a certain way, like you've been told that that's how it would have been done in those days. You know, there's not a lot of wiggle room for someone like me who likes to put their own stamp on things. It's not, you know, as I mentioned before, I kind of jammed along to the radio a lot and I jammed along to tracks alike. And using classical training and lots of the techniques like string crossing and pizzicato and all sorts of different scales and runs and motifs, like I put that in my head to the music. So learning to play by ear is super important. So if you, for example, if anyone's listening who is an instrumentalist that wants to do a bit more playing by ear, what I would advise is to sort of sing a riff like ba-da-da-da-da and then play that on your instrument. Like if you can go from head to instrument immediately, you can improvise because you're basically just humming through your instrument. You know when you hum along to a track, you're just doing that really. And that's all I do when I write two tracks. I get the track up, I get my manuscript paper because obviously I've learned how to put the notes onto the paper in my training. And I kind of imagine a melody and then I play it on the violin and then I write it down. That's it. It's sort of as simple as that really. It never takes long.
So what's the quickest track that you've laid down? How much
You know what, if you play me a track in a studio, like often I write it down, like I just said, and then I play it back. But if you let me improvise to a track in the studio, it'll just be the time that you, and I'll just play over it. And then if it's being recorded, that's it. And you'll just take certain sections that you want. So the length of the track, really.
Complete genius.
On a good day.
So of the tracks you've crafted, which ones are your most favourite and why? And I've said ones because you've probably got more than one.
One of my favourite tracks is one of the instrumentals of my EP called Langman. It's produced by Nat Powers, who is my boyfriend. And we've been together about 2.5-3 years. But we got together making music and that was the first track that we put out together.
Oh,
so for that reason and the fact that it's an absolute banger, that it bangs.
Of course.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, Langman, produced by Nat Powers. Would be up there definitely.
The Grand Violinist.
Nat Powers. We'll be right back.
So we talk about in the studio and perfectionism. Like, how do you maintain that when working in the studio? Because if I'm trying to write something and the words just don't come, for example, writing an article or coming up with ideas for a podcast, like procrastinate a bit, you have to come with a different style completely because you're not playing every single chord.
I think it's a combination of music training, knowing kind of chords and keys and things like that. Although, to be honest, a lot of that I've forgotten and instead I've followed my ear. So, I don't know, it's very rare that I do get writer's block. I'm very lucky in that way. And I find that the first thing that I write to a track is usually the one.
So also, I know that you collaborated with some big brands. I've seen Vodafone, I've seen Coca-Cola, Boohoo, Elise as well. And all of this helps towards your PR, your distribution as well, and really making your mark in the industry. How was it having them on board? What was it like?
They're all different, really. So, for example, Coca-Cola was a performance for one of their big events. Alessia, I worked with them sort of, I guess it's almost like sponsorship, and they give me and very luckily I get some like clothes from Fila and Alessia. And I just tend to wear them in the stuff that I'm doing. I don't tend to get told what to do. I think with influencer work, which is what a lot of this is, luckily you still get to create what you want, but just kind of incorporate the brand, and that's what they want. They don't want to tell you what to do, because otherwise they just employ someone, you know, or an actor to do it. So Vodafone, they wanted me to promote this tracker. So instead of doing something that was nothing to do with me, I sort of explained that I'd sort of left my violin on a bus before, and I've left it on a train before. I'm not joking, this actually happened. And so like this tracker would mean a lot to me. You know, it's just, it's different. I think working with brands, some of them will be live performances for their events. That's what Boohoo was as well, and Bumble and people like that. And some of them for the more influencer work, you just get to incorporate into your influencer work and you get paid for it.
That's good. It helps with the distribution.
Which is great. Exactly. It just kind of helps you as an artist. There's another stream of income that I think a lot of people aren't tapping into like they could do, especially in these times when live performance is kind of far and few between. It helps. As long as you agree with the ethics of the brand. I'm very insistent. I work with an e-commerce channel called Ooh TV, and I performed for sort of an hour and explained things, and they were selling something in this bottom corner, a bit like, you know, type of QVC kind of thing, and they said it was going to be cosmetics, and I was like, can you make sure it's cruelty free, because even though I'm not really selling that myself, I don't want to be associated with something that's not cruelty free, because that means a lot to me.
I know we touched on this earlier, so you appeared in music videos with some big names in the grime scene, including Lethal, Bizzle, DEE, JME, P Money, many more. You've also performed live with gigs, Mr. Easy, Lady Likes and Lioness as well. What is it like working with the artists?
Oh, they're always blessed, honestly. Like, everyone's just really nice and receptive. So it depends how much you're involved. Sometimes I'll just come in and I'm just, you know, I won't have much interaction with the artist, because I'll have a scene and they'll just want me to play the violin, and then I'm off. And then sometimes, like, you know, we'll be jumping around in front of the camera together, and that's a right laugh. I love music videos. I have to say, it's one of my favorite things to do, because you've pre-recorded. Usually there's no pressure in terms of you know, delivering the perfect note. And you just get to sort of have fun with people who are excellent at their
and
craft.
What was your key takeaway from some of the artists that you've learnt about them that you can use for yourself as an artist?
I'm not going to say who, but someone that I worked with wasn't having a great day when we were going to do a performance. And I could see that they were really struggling. But then as soon as they were on stage, no one would have known that for 1 second. And that's kind of how I am as well. Like, everything that's going on in your life, you leave at the door as soon as you step onto that stage. You know what I mean? I think you have to have the experience of being a performer for a while to be able to do that. I think if you're new to it, it would be quite hard to, you know, to have that stage presence regardless. I've had some really crappy days and then had to go up and perform to maybe thousands of people, and the last thing you actually feel like doing is giving your energy to that many people when you're right on a downer. However, you do it and oh, you feel so much better afterwards. It's a bit like if you're having a down day, smiling when you don't feel like smiling actually makes you feel better because it sort of sets up those sort of endorphins. It kind of tricks you. And it's the same with performing. You can kind of cheer yourself up with it.
Wow, that is amazing. And that's a good mindset. It's like the battle before you even get there. But once you get to the battleground, it's like the whole world changes and evolves. It's very encouraging to hear you say that because you are expressing that you are human like everybody else, which I always thought you was. But it's sometimes artists, again, are put on a pedestal. And I've tackled so many kind of conversations with like online bullying and stuff like that. We've talked about mental health with different artists and their belief system, so much things that they've been through. But yes, you still face the same battles as well at the same time.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah, regardless, obviously, some people have it easier than others, but everyone has their own internal struggles. And it's nice having an outlet that takes you away from that. It's almost like mindfulness. Like when you're on stage, you're not thinking about those struggles. It's almost like a type of meditation.
You've been at world festivals such as Glastonbury and Wireless, also the Royal Albert Hall, which you talk about your passion of working in theatre productions, or that's the South Bank Centre as well, Hammersmith Apollo. We talked about Big Nasty Channel 4's Big Nasty Show as well. That is amazing to know. You have done so much.
You know, some of those things, I think that's probably over the last 5 years, because I think I only branded myself as Grand Violinist in the last 3 or 4. And yeah, it feels like I'm grateful for every single experience. Every time I sort of get to a bigger venue or do a bigger performance, or what I class to be bigger in my head, it just feels like another step. It never feels like the top. And I'm sure that's the same for everyone. There's no kind of, you know, it's very glass ceiling. There's no end to it. As soon as you've done that one, I think I have. One of the things that I need to do more of is reflect on those things as soon as they've happened. I'm very prone to doing something amazing, going, oh, that was really good. And then the next day, okay, cool, what's the next? Rather than sort of reflecting on the fact that, no, you did just do that. Like, it's okay to sort of, you know, take a day and just be a little bit proud of that rather than just going, okay, what's next, you know? So I need to work on that. But yes, I'm very grateful for all those opportunities. And it's great for the old CV.
Yeah, so that brings me on to the next question. What has been the most rewarding thing happen in your career so far out of that, which you've just mentioned?
Favourite one was probably Glastonbury 2 years ago, because I performed there before with bands, but then I got my own solo headline set. So that was really exciting. It kind of made me realize, okay, cool, yeah, I'm doing this. This is sort of, you know, as a solo artist, you know. Rewarding wise, I work for a few music charities, and that's definitely the most rewarding, more rewarding than even playing, you know, to thousands of people at festivals. I work for a charity called The Spits, which takes music into care homes and nursing home settings, playing live music, interacting with them, and even writing music with residents and staff there. That's been especially important during this sort of time of isolation, because everyone's isolated, but these people already were isolated. Yes. Do you know what I mean? In a way. So that's been really inspiring. I also am ambassador for Young Urban Arts Foundation, and they take music production and workshops around mostly inner city groups of children, and help them talk about their mental health using music making as a tool. So that's awesome as well. So working with those two charities sort of is, in terms of rewarding, would be more rewarding.
So on to your new sample library. Tell us more about this.
Okay, so yeah, the next thing that I will be releasing is a sample library for, if you don't know what that is, it is so music producers can download a sample library and have my sounds in their productions without me having to come to studio. And rather than, you know, paying a fee for me to be on a record, it's basically you just buy this pack, much less, and you put it into your recording. So it'll be a sort of comprising of lots of loops and sort of riffs and melodies that I've written over production by Nat Powers. And yeah, it'll be out very soon.
Looking forward to that. So how many violins do you actually have?
I have three. I have one classical violin, which I've had since I was 18. I have one electric violin, which was very kindly given to me by Yamaha Music. I have a painted violin, which is more for music videos and stuff like that, but it was painted artwork by an artist called Exhibit 69, who's an amazing artist. Go and check him out. He wanted to paint me a violin, and so I used a violin that I used to play before I was 18. He put on it, we kind of had lots of discussions about what it should be, what would sum me up and things like that. And in the end, he actually wrote a poem about grime and graffitied it all over it. And when he first said this, I was a bit like, oh, what's this going to be? Because I didn't know that he had bars. I just thought, an artist kind of writing about grime, how's this going to go? And he sent me the poem and it blew my mind. It's absolutely amazing. It's like, it could be like a single. It was amazing. So I was like, yes, that's so good. And he really knew it. He really knew the history of grime. It sort of says all about it. So it's great. It's that with some other pictures around it. So yeah, that's a really special.
I've actually seen that, and I have got some words. The beginning of that poem, because I was going to ask you that question, it says grime.
Yeah. Good research.
Grime gave me more than a voice to the forgotten youth. That was the beginning of it. And I thought, wow, you know, but you've explained it all. Amazing. Yeah, that was the beginning of the poem. Yeah. So I took out those words and thought, please tell me all about this. But you've explained it all. It's amazing to know. With your style of music, what advice would you give to someone who is unique as yourself coming up in the industry?
I say just stick to being unique. Don't try and follow trends. It's really easy. Like we spoke about earlier, of like even myself trying to like follow TikTok trends and stuff like that. No, just do you, because that will have the most respect and it will make you feel best. You know, and I know that when I'm not being authentic, something's not right in me. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that you'll carry that. And you'll start to eventually, if you continue to do it, you'll start to ignore it and you won't know who you are in the end. Stay true to what makes you happy. I'm very lucky that I get to do what I love, but it took a long journey to get there. I knew that I liked playing the violin, but I didn't want to be a classical violinist. I knew that I liked grime, but, you know, how am I going to be involved in that scene, because I didn't grow up, you know, in that industry. But it just so happens that I can put two things that I love together. So, you know, whatever you're doing, make sure that you do what you like. And if you want to put your own spin on it, you'll probably have more success that way.
So some quick fire round questions. So what's the one unique thing about you that you tend to keep quiet or on the down low?
Probably that I love to dance as much as I love music.
You don't post about it?
No.
You wouldn't.
No, that's for me.
The style of dancing that you do.
I'd say anything from hip hop to jazz. But I did do ballet until I was 17. So kind of just sort of growing up dancing and wanting to move my body. Even if it's just yoga in a day, like unless I move my body once, like it doesn't feel like the day's, you know, been good.
That's a good thing to know about you as well. So what's your favourite mantra that you live by?
Do different. Okay. It was actually my university's motto. That's I went to UEA, and their motto is, but it's like my favourite hashtag now, because it's kind of, it's everything that I do. As I said, you know, I grew up doing ballet and then I switched like to doing hip hop dance. I grew up doing classical violin and I switched to doing like grime violin.
So what books are you reading right now?
So a book I have just read is Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And this is actually the first book that I put on my Instagram, just telling people to go and read, because it blew my mind. It's definitely aimed at the female audience, but men would be great to read it as well, because they kind of get a little bit more insight into our world. It was so mind-blowing that it just made me want to be braver in following what I want to do and not following other people. And just, it had so many insights from everything from doing what you want to with your life, to raising kids, it's just mind blowing. I can't even explain it, but it did change my outset and it made me want to be a braver.
So apart from recording music, do you play any other music instruments?
I don't. I used to, when I was growing up, I sort of, you know, bragged, oh, I played this, that and the other, like played five different instruments, but I wasn't. I was just plinky plonking around on like guitars and pianos, but no, violin is my only instrument. I do very occasionally do backing vocals, but I've never put my name to them. It's kind of like, I love singing so much, but I don't have the confidence yet to put it out there. So you never know, it might happen.
Wow, okay. I could hear the tone in your voice slightly as well when you were singing Miss Dynamite. But yeah, I was like, she can sing. She can sing. But I thought, I won't say nothing. We'll just wait.
I like that because I would have been embarrassed had you done that. So
what can we expect from you in 2021?
Oh my goodness, 2021, you know, I had so many plans for music projects, but I'm not going to put that pressure on myself to say that this will be out. As I said, the sample library will be out in the next month or so. Apart from that, I am literally going to see where my creativity takes me, because I've spent too much time planning projects that can't come to fruition at this time because of lockdown. So instead, I'm going to try and learn new things. Like, I've got like loop pedals and harmony pedals for my violin that I still want to experiment with. I still need to get to terms with a lot of the tech in terms of recording. So I'm just going to put my head down basically and learn new creative things.
It's been a real pleasure, Tanya, talking to you. And before you exit the AJ sound booth, which is virtual, have you got any final words for our listeners?
Just make sure that you stay true to yourself and be authentic.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Absolute pleasure.
AJ Soundbooth Artist Spotlight.
So it's hard to get rid of me. They can say I'm a marksman, but they ain't marking me physically. I'm a pace setter, so I'm starting it instantly. Artillery. 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 So it's hard to get rid of me. Militant man with a brilliant plan. I might bleed an innocent hand, that's a William scam. But not only William can pull it off, I can pull off a trillion, fam. No fluke, no incident, don't you ever think the only lithium is cam. I'm sick of a stick than Sam when he's chasing a bunny, letting a Russian out. There goes another hot one, it's curry. Whoa. Get rid of hurry. Dumb dumb sit at dummies. Bones. Unlucky. Homes. I'm old school like a granny. Nose. Shop on the stage when I spit, but I don't need that to be a dose. And I'm nobody's hobby. So if you see me, will you out? You know it's a quick one, like, can we go? Back to the war, so many enemies on my case that I can't relax anymore. They're all talking, nobody's telling me to my face. Maybe cause I'm carrying it all. And men walk in a symmetry of raids. I'm engaged, I'm an ugly, so I'm marrying all. Non-stop letting off when I draw black bags outside like a charity store. But there ain't no closing them. Just put them in his office. You know, 1, 2, 3, loads of them. 4, 5, 6, it's like close for them. 7, 8, 9, let me go leave it again. I'm stone cold, my face ain't got no emotion. And my foes know when it comes to the beef, I'm sub-zero cause they're in a frozen ting. Hands in the air when a man never appears. Sometimes I wake up like damn, my career. I'm school Travis, a ransom affair. There ain't a man that I fear, cause I can make a man disappear for a grand. But you're weird, there's man that would do that gladly. Keep going on like you don't actually care. And I swear they'll have your whole family scared. What? You see the insanity clear. What? Picture that like a gallery clear. Oh, foresee the future, or see how you should surely remove ya. Near out the back of your head for feeling super. Like nothing can't then Clark Kent. Well, I be the type to attempt. Yeah, I'm Lex Luthor, I'll step to ya. World domination, get used to the fact that I'm back and I'ma let loose and I'll turn more in my size of St. Lucia. Wait, that's an exaggeration. But when it comes to my Zeno, it's managed to get it's bussing. And if you don't know, I'll finish figuring like an application. This ain't American X, but it's teeth and the earth have now stagnant. I go on like a can't wait. Hey, yeah, that's well, I ain't never had any patience. Man, they be waiting outside in a car. As I inside of your yard, I got man parallel, diagonal and adjacent. All angles. And I got tricks up my sleeve like I've been Paul Daniels. I don't get a shit with how many niggas with the rule candles. I light them up like a lighter does. Should have think. Saint saying one.
cool Campbell and Rio Ferdinand, but don't think that G wrote the man. I'm like, fam, this ain't an act, it's all actual. Issue that I've done, issue that I did, issue that I'm gonna do, issue that I think someone I put in it on, it's not at all natural. Stop all the bad boy poses, none of you are bad boys know this. You can put a scar on the face and bass in the voices, but we know you're still moist. Beef, I'd rather avoid it, it's pointless, but I've been poisoned. But I've been living in, man, I'm running anything like we live where the oil is. My blood's boiling, man, when I'm ever up, but I've already been anointed, so my only choice is take like a toilet, or I go hard like a coin is. So now I'm in deep like oysters. I'm looking at certain man,
what?
And I can see where the roids did, but I'm not gonna take that route. Skin wigging with the 8-pack.
How?
Head to knees, then lay back down 150 times a day. It's hard to maintain that.
Wow.
Pump up, tone up, weights in a gym.
Look at my donut straight in a chin.
Dumb roll up, waving a ting.
One bus hold up, blazing the wind.
Never hit anyone or anything. Never hit anything or anyone. Okay, check 1-2, snatch to the head. Payback's a bitch, I ain't one to forget. So I'll snatter the split. When forensics got to the scene and saw the dude, said it must be a tech.
Yeah, must be a tech. Name's GH in the head.
AJ Soundbooth is the monthly music podcast hosted by me, your host, Antonia Jones. It's a podcast where you get to hear the freshest new sounds coming out of the UK and beyond. Plus, you'll get to catch up with some of the most influential figures on the music scene. Check out AJ Soundbooth and join the virtual hangout, available on Phoenix FM online. And make sure you follow us on Instagram at AJ Soundbooth.
AJ Soundbooth.
AJ Soundbooth.